Hey, it's Vic Nizar. Have your say and join me on The People's Show with big takes and even bigger bets. Weekdays 3 to 4 on Sportsnet 650 or wherever you get your podcasts.
There's the flute, and that means you're listening to Canucks Talk on Sportsnet 650. I'm your host, Thomas Drantz. Jamie Dodd, maintenance day after working the post-game show last night. He'll be back tomorrow. So today, you're riding with me solo, although I've got my fabulous producers. They'll be chiming in as we go. And of course, you can chime in. We'll get into that shortly. Before we begin the whiteboard, Canucks Talk is brought to you by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment, our good friends. Be a champion on the worksite. You can find them together online at DLEAMC.com. Of course, I'm coming to you live all alone from the Kintec studio. Kintec is Canada's favorite orthotics provider, powered by thousands of five-star Google reviews. Sore feet? What are you waiting for? And of course, I'm going to need you to chime in over the course of the show. In the final segment, we may do a sort of a mailbag segment in addition to hearing audio from Rick Tocchet at Canucks practice today. You can do so using the 650-650 Dunbar Lumber text line. Dunbar Lumber, with three stores to serve you in Ladner on Bridge Street, or Dunbar Lumber Express at Ladner Center, or Arbutus in Vancouver. You can also visit them online from the convenience of your own home. Dunbar Lumber. .com. All right, let's be efficient here. Let's go straight to the whiteboard so that we don't go long and Dom doesn't yell at me.
All right, now, fellas. Hey, let's focus up, huh?
Let's start with the headlines. What a win! The Vancouver Canucks rally to defeat the Vegas Golden Knights 4-3. The Vancouver Canucks in the win column against a good team. Look, this was a win that felt big, and I think for the team a little bit, but more so for the market. This was an opportunity to exhale, given the largely uninspiring hockey, frankly, that the Canucks have played, especially over the past month, but really dating back to the All-Star break, right? Going into the playoffs, I think the losses piling up against Dallas and Colorado and the Kings. And the Kings again, you know, you could sense some agitation. You could sense some anxiety. You opened the Dunbar Lumber text line and people were texting in. Canucks fans deeply worried, steeling themselves after a dream campaign that has mostly filled them with excitement and hope for inevitable, what seems like inevitable, especially in this always, well, or at least usually fatalistic hockey market, for the inevitability of playoff disappointment. And for one night, the Canucks were able to remind us that, hey, this is a pretty good team. In fact, this is a really good team. This is a team that can hang with anybody. They've shown it all year. This sort of divot that they've hit over the past month doesn't mean that they're bound to lose in the first round any more than winning on Monday night means they're bound to advance deep into the playoffs. This was a win that felt like a vibes renewal, a reset of sorts. You could see it on the faces of players. You could hear it in the joking commentary from Connor Garland, who seemed moved by the chance in the building. The t-shirts that JT Miller was wearing, the fact that he joked about having an extra beer to celebrate his 100th point on the season. This was a win that lightened the mood around the group, and it really should have, because I would argue to you that this was the best Canucks win we've seen all season. Honestly, the most impressive from a hockey standpoint. This team's beat a lot of clubs over the course of the year, right? We saw them go Harlem Globetrotters on their trip through Manhattan. We saw them start the season 11-3-1, you know, just running roughshod over everybody with a ton of deflection goals, finding the back of the net and their power play rolling, and Thatcher Demko looking like an early Vezina favorite. We saw them shut down teams even as the bounces began to go against them. We saw their depth scoring puncture opponents on a regular basis. And sort of subtly beneath the surface, what we've seen over the course of this year is that this team has leveled up in terms of their ability to control the proceedings of games at 5-on-5. And yet, even as their underlying form improved, and in fact their meaningful defensive form, their structural form improved over the course of this year, inevitably this team wasn't going to shoot 15% all season. You know, you weren't going to have every single bottom six forward on your roster converting on 20% of your chances. Eventually, you were going to have a key player hurt the way that Thatcher Demko has been hurt over the past month. And so sort of as this team's surface level results have flatlined, quietly, slowly, methodically, this team has ramped up their level of play as a team, as a defensive unit, as a team capable of going out there against some of the best teams in the league and actually controlling proceedings 5-on-5. And last night, it kind of came together, right? Like last night against this imposing Golden Knights team, a Golden Knights team that, yes, Vancouver will have split the season series with, but in the two losses, Vancouver looked out of their weight class in a way that they very rarely have all season. Against this team, the Canucks surrender the first two goals of the game, and it was easy to, you know, begin sniffing around, wondering if there was a stench, like a stench of doom coming from this roster. And guess what? From that point on, they took over the game. First, the power play dragged them back into it. Man, we haven't seen that in a long time. Then, after a Carson Soucy trip, which, by the way, was a Carson Soucy trip, and I don't know if I can live in a world where we're just complaining about every single call that goes against the Canucks, even like obvious undisciplined trips away from the puck, as that one was. People are going to have to miss me with these. Anyway, after that trip resulted in a quick Noah Hanifin goal to restore Vegas's lead, Vancouver played their best 30 minutes of hockey, certainly in months, but I would argue all season, because it felt like all of a sudden this team's ability to control games was harnessed to their ability to actually get results, and they ran over the Golden Knights. Like, going into that third period at home, up a goal and out shooting Vegas until the Golden Knights' net was pulled, right? The way that they defended against Jack Eichel and Tomáš Hertl and this sort of new-look Golden Knights roster, which granted was missing some pieces but is nonetheless highly imposing, to me that was just phenomenal, like phenomenal hockey from this team, phenomenal hockey from a team that hasn't showed us a ton of it over the course of the past 6 weeks. And you could sort of feel this market hope again. And I think that matters. I think it matters more for the people engaging in the discourse outside of the team than it did for the team itself. And yet, you know, to hear Garland talk about JT Miller's t-shirt and the fact that it kept it light, the fact that that's something Miller was able to do for the team, the relief you could hear post-game from Rick Tocchet, usually a very steely personality, honest, frank, pretty reserved in terms of the way that he's shown frustration, certainly to the media over the course of the season. You know, earlier in the day, like at morning skate, he was talking about regretting having emphasized the playoffs so much, wanting to get back to the idea of a day-to-day approach for the team, the distractions that come with this, the stakes mounting long-term, like over the horizon, even as the importance, or certainly the meaning, of the individual games that are right ahead of the team kind of wane. And so this was just one of those games that felt like, you know, and I'm not going to do the Steve Young monkey off their back, but it just felt like an opportunity to exhale, a renewal of vibes. And that renewal of vibes was punctuated, too, by a ton of individual milestones. So let's get to Connor Garland, played his 400th game, scored his 100th and 101st career goals, and was serenaded by Connor Garland chants in the lower bowl and the upper bowl at Rogers Arena. What a turnaround for this gentleman. I mean, do you remember the vitriol after it was reported that Connor Garland had changed agents and then requested a trade at training camp? Do you remember how frustrated this market was with a player who, you know, has been widely available for consecutive off seasons ever since pretty much he signed his 5-year, $5 million roughly contract with the team following the Oliver Ekman-Larsson trade. And over the course of the season, with just the highest end motor imaginable, right? With offensive creativity, especially from down low in the end, in the zone, with his ability to drive play and elevate his line mates, you know, Garland's the sort of player if you're really watching him play and sort of examining how he's successful, I mean, it's impossible not to root for a guy like that. Like, it's impossible not to root for an undersized forward just digging out loose pucks in the blue paint the way he did on both of his goals last night. He's won over this fan base, clearly, and it was pretty cool. In addition to Garland's individual success and sort of noting the milestone, right? Which look, 400 games, it's not a big round number. You're not getting a silver-plated stick from the NHL club. Your family's not being brought out on a red carpet to be acknowledged pregame. But when you're a guy who went through the draft undrafted the first time out, was finally selected in the fifth round, you know, had to scrap and claw at your size. Rick Tocchet even told a story about telling Garland directly, you're not a 17-minute-a-night player early in his career when Tocchet was working with him in Arizona, to which Garland responded and challenged him, well, you better make me one. Tocchet saying that that response actually changed some of how Rick Tocchet views his job, like what he's trying to accomplish as a coach working with players. I thought that was a phenomenal anecdote from Rick Tocchet, and one that really illustrates all of the things that Garland has had to overcome to make it to the league and then stick in the league. And the way that he was recognized last night, not just by the crowd, but also by JT Miller, who sort of took Garland's joke, right? Garland had made a joke that they should get t-shirts made for a player who was similarly approaching like a far more modest games played milestone, just to, you know, really blow it up and kind of goof on a guy. Miller instead, of course, stores it away and uses it against his buddy Garland last night. And, you know, again, I think lightening the mood as the pressure had ramped up in this market, as some of the second guessing had sort of begun to filter into the discourse, as this club had really struggled to get wins against playoff teams, I think there was real value in that for the group, and you could sense it. Not to mention that the shirts are just hilarious. Like, good fun, the sort of thing you want to see from a team, especially a team that's kind of struggled in the past to stem the bleeding when things have begun to go against them, to sort of have something of a silly reset and then go out and play like that. That's a nice sign, a nice sort of calming balm for this fan base and close observers of the team. Miller, by the way, hits 100 points last night in the second period with sort of a flurry of assists. He bests his career high of 99 points, which, if you'd told me that Miller was going to record more than that, more than 99 points, on this current contract that he signed back in the summer, like the late summer of 2020, I would have struggled to believe you, right? Given his historic production and on, I would have struggled to believe you. And yet, you know, what was even more impressive for me and what's even been more impressive for me over the course of the season is the way that he's really leveled up as a two-way center, right? That to me is the far bigger surprise, especially given his performance in sort of his first 100 games, dating back to that sort of lockout or the pandemic abbreviated All-Canadian Division bubble season. He was productive always. He's always productive. He's an incredibly skilled player. But the two-way game took a while to become consistent when he played center. Under Rick Tocchet, like almost from the moment Tocchet took over, it's hit a really high level. He's maintained that over the course of the year. And so to hit 100 points, something not a lot of Canucks players have done, something not a lot of NHL players have done, like in the history of the league, he's like the 126th guy to do it, right? So this is a pretty significant accomplishment. You know, to do it on a night where you go head-to-head against Jack Eichel for 9 minutes, Vegas doesn't score a goal while Miller and Eichel are locking horns, and they only generated 2 shots on goal. I mean, that's taking a phenomenal career accomplishment and sort of underlining it 3 times in red Sharpie. So congratulations to Miller, a tremendous accomplishment for him. Brock Besser, 40 points. Man, so many milestones hit all at once. This was like the good vibes apocalypse for the Canucks. Brock Besser, we all know what he's gone through over the past few years. You know, his dad's declining health and passing, how it affected him. We saw that emotional moment from Besser toward the tail end of the Bruce There It Is season at the press conference. So, you know, to bounce back, given some of the struggles that he's had over the past few years, given some of the times that he's come under criticism for a lack of production, he started this season on fuego. He's carried it through to score 40 goals. You know, the Besser 30, can he score 30? He beat that by 10. An incredible accomplishment for him. So those are the big headlines. I do want to note, though, Artur Seelovs starting for the first time against a really good team, surrenders a goal on the first two shots he faced. One of them was a no-doubter. That was a big breakdown that led to Jack Eichel's second goal. But the first one just handcuffed him, went kind of through his nine hole between his glove and his pad. That's a tough goal to allow early in the game as a young goaltender. And to have the resilience to bounce back, to play as well as he did, although, you know, I think the defensive effort was just superb last night, and I think that's crucial context, but to bounce back and be as steady as he was the rest of the way, you'll love to see it, and certainly it makes for some interesting discussion about how the Canucks should split starts between Seelovs and DeSmith, not just until Demko gets back, but maybe if Demko gets hurt again in the playoffs. I think that's now going to be something that we're going to talk about, that we're going to discuss, that fans are going to discuss, and that I'm sure Rick Tocchet, Ian Clark, and Canucks management, you know, we'll have to weigh internally. Not to mention the implications for this club's backup goaltending position long term. But we'll have plenty of time to discuss that on the other side of this Canucks playoff run. Let's skip the broadsheet and move right into the lineup updates. Miller, Pettersson, Hughes, Besser have all taken maintenance days at Canucks practice, according to our Sportsnet 650 colleague, Brendan Batchelor. Thatcher Demko was on the ice ahead of practice, getting in a fair bit of work with Ian Clark and Artur Seelovs and Casey DeSmith. He did, however, leave practice just after it started. So was on the ice for the start of practice and then left. You know, until Demko is a full participant in a full Canucks practice, you have to think he's a week away. And we're about a week away from the end of the regular season. I mean, we're getting very, very close to that point. So, you know, hard to imagine at this point that he's going to start more than one, frankly, especially given that he didn't take the opportunity to practice in full with the team. Today, we'll see what Rick Tocchet has to say following practice. Playoff odds. Let's get to the playoff odds. Lots of interesting stuff going on. The Canucks are currently projected, according to Dom Lecision's model at The Athletic, to finish with 109 points. Edmonton is projected to finish with 107 points. So it's still thin, even though Vancouver really helped their cause last night. Going into the game last night, it was really a coin flip on which team was going to win the Pacific Division. The model, following Vancouver's convincing regulation win against Vegas, now handicaps Vancouver's odds of winning the Pacific at 67%. Edmonton will face Vegas on Wednesday. The Canucks will host the Arizona Coyotes. And of course, Edmonton will then play the Coyotes on Friday, and then the big head-to-head matchup in Edmonton on Hockey Night in Canada this weekend. So this is going to be decided. This is going to be decided over the next 4 or 5 days here, most likely. I mean, obviously, things can still change. It might tighten, and we'll have to see how it plays out. But this is still somewhat live, although Vancouver is really strongly positioned here. And I'd add that Edmonton has a super condensed schedule once they play again on Wednesday. Like, it's going to be a gauntlet for them, you know, to actually come back and close the five-point gap that currently exists between these two teams. Dom Lecision's handicapping it at 67%. Here's an interesting nugget that I wanted to pull from the model. Dom's model is currently handicapping which opponents a team is most likely to face in the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. And the model currently ranks Nashville as Vancouver's most likely first round opponent, 37% probability that the Canucks head to Broadway to face the Nashville Predators for games 3 and 4 of their first round series. However, LA is second at 34%. That's pretty tight. And the Golden Knights are third at 27%. So really, This is a toss-up between three separate opponents. And as a testament to just how murky Vancouver's playoff matchup picture remains, with just a few days left in the regular season, the Canucks are none of those three teams' most likely first-round opponent. None of their most likely first-round opponents. So things are up in the air in terms of who Vancouver will face. Who should they want to face? We'll get into that with Shayna Goldman in our next segment. Gambling odds. Let's go over some gambling odds. The main thing I want to focus on here is a gap between Dom's model and the odds of winning the Pacific Division. The Canucks currently are minus 400 to win the Pacific Division, at least at some books. That's sort of a standard price that I've found. The implied probability of that's 80%, which is far, far greater than what Dom's model suggests are their odds, 67%. That's a pretty big gap between implied probability and Dom's model. And usually when that's the case, there's some value to be mined. Edmonton is plus 250. At this juncture, that's an implied probability of 28%. Again, Dom's model would put that about 10 percentage points higher. So there's some value, at least according to Dom's model, on the Oilers right now, although I'm not sure I'd recommend trying to mine it given the short runway and how condensed Edmonton's schedule is. As for the game tomorrow, the Canucks have opened. They've opened as minus 235 home favorites against the Arizona Coyotes, who are plus 190 to win at Rogers Arena on Wednesday night. The Canucks would do well to take care of business and avoid that Saturday night game in Edmonton having undue meaning, placing undue stress on their players and also on this fan base, frankly, over the course of this upcoming weekend. So it will be an interesting one on Wednesday night as the Canucks look to sort of further solidify their perch atop the Pacific Division. This Canucks team, of course, has never previously won the Pacific Division in its existence in franchise history. All right, with that, we'll close the whiteboard. We've got Shayna Goldman coming up. We've got Kevin Woodley coming up. We'll hear from Rick Tocchet. We'll get into your questions. Stay tuned to Canucks Hour. I'm Thomas Dranson. You're listening to Sportsnet 650.